If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And Phil is right. It is dry but cool out there. Nice and crisp. Feels like fall. And certainly, if you are someone like me that enjoys this time of year, you are in all your glory. The problem is it doesn't last long. Spring and fall are very short seasons here in New England. Although, this fall seems to have kicked off at just the right time. And if we get it to go through like, you know, early to mid-December before things turn more wintry, that'll be a good year. All I care about is I just want to make sure I get all my fall fun in. What do you do for fall fun? I can't do anything fall fun in October because I'm booked straight out. But then in November, I try to do some things. Now, I can't go apple picking or pumpkin picking or any of that because all that's over by that point. But I like to get out and walk through some places. I'm not a leaf peeper, so I don't care. I mean, I like the fact that the leaves change around me, but I'm not going to go drive to go look at leaves somewhere. If you want to do that, that's your thing. Okay. I can understand, but that's not my thing at all. One other thing that I like to do in the fall is watch football. That's already started. I like to get my pumpkin spice Dunkin', or now I really do like the pumpkin chippy over at Mirasol's. But I like to get my coffee on a Sunday morning. I usually make coffee at home. Preferably I use the French press. Some days I'm lazy. I do have a Keurig. I don't really use that often, but I also have an espresso machine, and I will make regular coffee in the espresso machine because you get a good hot cup. It's only about 7 ounces, so then you can go back and make another one, and it stays hot, but those pods are a little expensive, but I do enjoy it. Now, I'll usually have an espresso too, but something about getting a coffee and bringing it home on a Sunday, sitting down, watching the NFL today or the Fox Sunday show, and then watching the game, taking a nap afterwards. Like that's my perfect fall activity. Maybe not the same for you. 508-996-0500. Just give me 1 second. Hang on 1 second. There we go. So one of the other issues with fall that people have is that they don't know what to wear when they leave the house in the morning because it's 50-something degrees now. It's going to get to be almost 70 today. Do you wear shorts? Do you wear pants? Do you wear a jacket? Do you wear a hoodie? What do you do? It's the season more than anything. I think even more than spring, where you have to bring possible changes of clothes with you when you leave the house. Because like in the spring, I'd rather think I'm going to be warm and then be like, oh, I should have brought a jacket. But I don't mind because I know the temperature is progressively getting warmer. Feels different when it's fall and you're like, I know the cold weather is right around the corner. But I don't know, maybe you see it differently. So yesterday I put up a story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app that some of you may find interesting. If you missed our discussion with cult expert Rick Ross regarding the 12 tribes, the religious group in Plymouth, of which one of the members was convicted last week, sentenced to 40 years, well, convicted in I forget when it was. Was it August or September? But he was convicted a little while ago, but sentenced last week to 40 years in prison on charges of child rape and indecent assault. And there's the community always has a conversation going on about 12 tribes and the businesses that they run in town. And you have the people who are like, hey, they're free to practice whatever religion they want. Just because it might seem weird to you doesn't make them a cult. They run businesses. They have good food. Like, why does everybody slam them so much? And people like that probably aren't aware of the stories about them. And so that's why I wanted to have Rick Ross on, so he can explain what 12 tribes has been accused of and in some cases convicted of in the past. Now, granted, we don't know that these were necessarily going on in Plymouth, but it is the, I don't want to say the philosophy of the group, but kind of like in the DNA of the group. To subjugate children and really everybody. And so Rick explained it very well with us on Friday, but if you missed it, we do have it on the podcast, but I also put it in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, as well as my Midnight Society interview from 2020 with Sammy Brasso, who was a member of 12 Tribes. Her whole family was part of the cult. Her whole family was involved in it. She escaped. If I remember right, I think she told me she was 7 or 8 years old when she made the decision that she was getting out of there. Because she knew then that the way that they were treating her and others was wrong. And so she made up her mind then that she would leave the first chance she got. When she turned 18, she left. And I guess if I remember correctly, she got to a bus station in Boston and called her parents at the 12 Tribes commune and, you know, let her dad know, I am safe. I've left, but I am safe. And his exact words to her were, you are not my daughter anymore. He disowned his daughter because she chose a different life. When I talked to her in 2020, she hadn't spoken to her family in years. Her sister was part of 12 Tribes in Plymouth, had not spoken to her in years, but was hoping that she could be able to talk her into leaving. And Sammy started a nonprofit called Liberation Point, where they work to help people get out of those situations. So I had that conversation with her back then as part of a thing we did on that show called Cult Week, where I interviewed somebody from a different cult or a different person from cults each night of the week. And her story was the most heartbreaking of all. And I included that interview in the post at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, so you can hear that in its entirety. The problem is I did that show in such high quality audio because we were following in the footsteps of Art Bell. I had taken over his show before we kind of morphed it into Midnight Society. And audio quality was a major, major requirement for that audience. So I had to compress it down to be able to put it into the story. So it might not sound completely high quality to you like it does listening on the radio, but you get all of the information and the emotion of it, certainly. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay, and you?
Doing all right.
The lottery? That's no big deal for me to stop. I will never pay for $5.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, I only pay, and this has been this way forever with me, I only play when it is a higher-up jackpot. Now, the Mega Million, it's twice a week. And Powerball is three times a week. So they may not raise the Powerball right now, but believe me, it will come. And I don't think they will raise theirs right away to $5 because their game is 3 days a week, and they're going to lose customers if they're going to do it like that.
Right.
No $5 with the Powerball. But I used to be that I just played mine, so I was $2 a hit. But since my mother passed, I've been playing hers too that she played for years. So when the jackpot's high is when I start. So it's $4 for me because it's two for me, two for my mother. And, of course, it's 4 weeks in a month, so it's like $32. And as soon as somebody wins that, I don't play for months again. I let it build all the way up, which lately that's what they are doing. I think they're controlling that. They're letting it get real high like that. As far as the scratch tickets, like once in a blue moon, I might get one or two if I happen to be near the service desk at the store.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm getting gas once in a while. I don't get gas every day, so once in a while I might get one. But I'm not a scratch ticket person. You see them all over the ground. It's like, well, what a big gimmick that is. And the trash barrel's right there, but they're still throwing them on the ground. Before I use all my time now, you mentioned that the cult. You know that, what was it, Mother of God? Love something?
Yes. Love Has Won cult.
Yeah, well, all her episodes now are on, I think it's Max, HBO Max,
yes.
One of them.
Yep.
And I haven't started watching it. Have you done that?
I did watch it. It was very fascinating. And
oh, yes, it is.
I came away from that, you know, not knowing how I felt about it because while I get that she was a manipulative person, I don't feel like that felt, see, the word cult is hard to distinguish because
right.
Like, I feel like those people knew what they were doing. I feel like those people knew that they were following somebody. I don't think they were brainwashed. I'll put it that way.
I know. Did you know the whole story, even though you haven't seen it all yet, though? Did you find out when she died there and they had her body there?
Oh, no, I've seen it all. It already ran. They just put it back
so
on
you saw
Max.
It all. Okay.
Yeah, it was on TV that last year.
That disturbed me a lot that they cared about her that much that she was dead and the body was there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. But she really was a weirdo. The things that she believed in and the way she controlled them. I mean, sometimes I'll say things like, how can anybody be that stupid? To really follow all that kind of, and yet they do.
I don't know why people followed her and those beliefs, but I don't think, my opinion is I don't think she really believed those things. I think she crafted that as being something for people to follow. I think that was entirely devised on her part. Some cult leaders, I think, actually do believe the things that they're teaching, but others, I think, they just kind of make it up as a way to control the people.
Yeah, and that Jim Jones, I saw enough of his videos and that they put out. He was another one. I mean, yeah, kill yourself if you just want to go meet God somewhere. Why do you have to take all those people with you? That, and I think with him, it was a drink or something.
Yeah, he had them drink the poison Kool-Aid there.
Was it the same thing with that lion, Lion Gate or Heaven Gate or something? That guy Applewhite.
Yeah, so they
it
all
was a drink.
They all drank poison. I think they did poison Gatorade, but I think that that when we say the phrase, "Oh, you're drinking the Kool-Aid," that's in relation to Jim Jones.
Yeah. Well, I don't drink Kool-Aid, and I'm not about to. Now, those guys that called after I called and said things about me and all, you know what? Those are guys that will never stand up and fight for their country. Them skirt-wearing pansies don't bother me. They can call up and say whatever they want. At my age and a female, I would be the first one in line if I had to defend my country. They like to call up and say all these things, but they will never defend their country. Never. That's what they sound like to me. They want to shoot off. Let them call in and talk about me all they want. I am who I am. I love my country. I have many family members that had their life on the line, World War I, World War II. I'm going to defend my country if I have to do it too. If they needed me, I would go. So let everybody put that in their pipe and smoke it. You too, Brian Thomas. You.
Let me ask you before you go. Did you get a chance to listen to the audio in that story about the cults from Sammy Brasso? I think I might have sent it to you before.
If you sent me something, I watched it. But
I think I might have sent you. I think I might have sent you all of the shows from when I did that cult week. All the different shows I did on the cults.
I know you sent me something, and I watched what you sent me. But what did you call it just now? What was it?
So in the story that I published yesterday on the cult, on the website, there's an interview in there from 2020 that I did with somebody that escaped from that cult.
Oh no, I didn't see that.
So the audio is in the video. It's about an hour's worth of audio, and maybe a little bit. I think it's like an hour and a half.
Where would I find that now? Is it on your?
If you go to WBSM.com and on the website, I have a story with a picture of the yellow deli, and it says, you know, cult expert talks about the Plymouth tribe there. And in the bottom of that story, there's, in the middle of that story, there's an audio file you can play. That's me interviewing Sammy Brasso about her time in that group.
I'll do that as soon as I come back, because if I don't do my walk now, I just won't do it. I got to do it first thing in the morning. I don't know about you. Whenever you do your exercises, to me, it has to be in the morning. Because after that, I'm laying around.
I can't do it in the morning just because of my schedule. I got to be here early. But otherwise, I'd rather get it done, you know, early in the day before, you know, on warm days before it gets too warm. And I'd like to do it before, you know, and when I can have time to sit down and relax afterwards, too. Mm. Before my day.
Before I hang up, one last sentence for you. I'm just a little disturbed that you didn't reply what I sent you.
I didn't have any reason to reply. You made your point.
Well, you didn't have anything to say, though.
No, I didn't.
Fight me on it or anything.
No, I didn't. I was also super busy yesterday.
And I was looking for a comment. I said, gee, not saying anything.
I know. That's why I didn't reply, because I know you're looking to get a response out of me. You're trolling me. That's why I didn't answer.
You knew I was looking for, and you just had to hurt me like that.
It hurts you more that I don't respond.
Well,
that's when you know you're a true troll, Mary, when you don't get a response and that upsets you more.
I wanted to know what you were going to say, and there was no comment all day long. I kept checking in. I said, he's that busy. I'll just have to wait. He's a very busy guy.
I really was yesterday. Yeah, I was straight out yesterday.
All right. When I get back, I'll check that out.
All right. You have a great day and a great walk.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. 508-996-0500 if you want to. It's funny because I put a post up the other day. And Mary went in and was jabbing everybody that made a comment. What was the comment that I made? It was after the vice presidential debate. And it was something like, you know, conservatives taking a victory lap because J.D. Vance won the debate. And I know people were arguing with me about, oh, he didn't win. He just lied, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about like the people who scored the debate, the talking heads on all the stations gave that debate to J.D. Vance. Like, doesn't matter if what he said was true. Doesn't matter what the problem, the point is, rather not problem, the point is, he won on the points. He won on the grading. He won on whatever formula people were using. And so when I put that, I said, you know, taking a victory lap because J.D. Vance won the vice presidential debate after the disaster that Donald Trump turned in the presidential debate against Kamala Harris, I said, that's like the Patriots having a banner for their 16-0 season where they lost the Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, it's really nice that you won the vice presidential debate, but that's not the one that matters. It's not the one that counts. And that was just the point of my post was saying that. And so everybody that, you know, all my liberal friends were coming in and bemoaning and saying, hey, you didn't win, you lied, blah, blah. And Mary went in there and was making comments under everybody, just trying to tweak everybody. And I knew what she was doing. And she's just trying to get them to engage with her. And some of them actually did. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? You're falling for the trolling. She's trolling you. But it was funny to watch anyway. And in fact, at one point, Mary and somebody else were just like, somebody would say something to Mary and Mary would just repeat it. And then the lady's like, what are you, five? And then Mary responded, what are you, five? Like, obviously, she's just trying to get a rise out of you. Oh, anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. All right, and you can call that number, and we'll also take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails. But right now, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Florida prepares for a powerful hurricane, remembering Whitney Houston's mother, dead at 91. And are you brave enough to travel America's most haunted road?
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Category 5 Hurricane Milton is growing into a major problem as it's forecast to make landfall in Florida late Wednesday or early Thursday. It's gaining strength as it rolls across the Gulf of Mexico, now clocking in at 180 miles per hour. That's a 90-mile-per-hour wind increase on Monday alone. Counties along Florida's west coast have been ordered to evacuate as over 50 are under a state of emergency. Recovery efforts are ongoing in the southeast with Hurricane Helene's death toll continuing to rise. In North Carolina, the death toll has climbed to more than 75, with the western part of the state being hit the hardest. But Governor Roy Cooper says things are getting better.
There is progress in western North Carolina toward recovery.
More than 230 people across the region have been killed from the devastating storm. President Biden had ordered 500 more troops to be deployed to North Carolina to help the recovery efforts. Both former President Trump and Vice President Harris spoke on the one-year anniversary of the Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel. Harris speaking in Washington, D.C., where she and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff planted a memorial tree on the grounds of the vice president's residence. Trump at a remembrance event taking place at his golf course in Florida. Georgia's Supreme Court is reinstating the state's six-week abortion ban. The ruling comes a week after a lower court had struck the ban down. That decision had allowed the procedure to resume and made them legal up to 22 weeks of pregnancy. The six-week ban will now remain in effect while the Georgia Supreme Court considers the state's appeal of last week's decision. Gospel singer Sissy Houston, the mother of the late Whitney Houston, is dead at 91. Kristen Marks reports.
Sissy Houston's family says she died at her home in New Jersey on Monday while in hospice care for Alzheimer's. In a statement, daughter-in-law Pat Houston says their hearts are filled with pain and sadness. Following the loss of the family matriarch, Houston, a Newark native, had a successful solo career herself, winning 2 Grammy Awards. She also performed with Elvis Presley and Aretha Franklin and was in the girl group Sweet Inspirations with niece Dee Dee Warwick. The vocal group sang backup for many artists, including niece Dionne Warwick. Kristen Marks, NBC News Radio.
An American man being held in a Russian prison for allegedly fighting as a mercenary for Ukraine. In April of 2022, 72-year-old Stephen Hubbard was arrested by Russian forces in Ukraine after being accused of fighting against Russian forces for monetary compensation. His family questions Russia's claims, saying Hubbard had moved to Ukraine in 2014 to teach English, and he never owned a gun, and he's not the fighting type. And if you're looking for something spooky to do this Halloween, you might want to drive on the most haunted road in America. As Sarah Lee Kessler tells us, it's in New Jersey.
Something strange in the neighborhood.
There are lots of tales of paranormal activity on Clinton Road in West Milford, a winding 10-mile stretch from Route 23 to Upper Greenwood Lake, where drivers report seeing phantom headlights and a young ghost boy who tosses coins at people from Dead Man's Curve. The car rental company Sixt says this road is the most haunted in America. Interstate 4 in Florida runs second, with Bray Road in Wisconsin placing third. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins in their season opener with the Florida Panthers tonight at 7. Celtics continue the preseason when they host the Philadelphia 76ers Saturday at TD Garden. And the Patriots and Houston Texans in Week 6 action at Gillette Stadium on Sunday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunshine and cool fall temperatures in store for the rest of the week. Overnight lows in the 30s could lead to frost. Good idea to bring in those sensitive plants. Looking to the weekend, more sun and milder temperatures near 70. This WBSM News Update brought to you by Seastreak Sunset Cruise, taking the sights of historic New Bedford from the water on Saturday, October 12th. Book now at seastreak.com. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
She don't care about my car. and she don't care about my money. And that's real good, cause I don't got a lot to spend. But if I did, it wouldn't mean nothing. She likes me for me, not because I look like Tyson Beckford with the charm of Robert Redford losing out my ears. What she sees are my faults and indecisions, my insecure conditions, and the tears upon the pillow that I shed. She don't care about my big screen or my collection of DVDs.
Kind of interesting what people thought were important in the 90s or thought were not important in the 90s. But, oh, man, back in the 90s, you had a big screen and a collection of DVDs? Wow. Everybody has a big screen now. Nobody has DVDs anymore. Some people still like to collect physical media. But what's funny is when that song came out, I didn't have a big screen. I didn't have DVDs. I got my first DVD player after that song came out, I think. So, and I remember the first time I watched a movie on DVD, it was Bringing Out the Dead with Nicolas Cage. And I said, wow, this is so much better than a videotape. And now I own one DVD left, I think. Well, I mean, I still have them. They're just all in storage. But that goes out to a participation trophy wife who brought up Blessed Union of Souls in App Chat, because she says she blames me for saying PM Dawn, and I forget what the other, Toward the Wet Sprocket, at least once a week. But yes, Blessed Union of Souls also had a lot of great songs. Just so many of them are kind of slow tempo for the morning. And I try to play more upbeat songs, but then I try to be careful about it, not play anything that's like too loud and obnoxious in the 6 o'clock hour. By the time 7 o'clock comes around, forget it. You should already be up. I've already been up for a while. You should be up. I'm going to play the rocking songs. But she also asks, the religious group, 12 Tribes, is that the same group that owned the Common Ground restaurant on Main Street in Hyannis back in the 90s? Or is that a different culty group? And that is the same group. And they do have a Hyannis community still. They've been there since 1991. And they had the Common Ground Cafe. It says here that they run it, so that they still do run it. Now, that's on their website. According to Google, it says that it's permanently closed. And also, the Yellow Deli in Plymouth, which is one of their Plymouth businesses, that has some interesting hours. According to Google, I don't know how much of this is actually true, but I noticed this on Google yesterday. They're open one day a week, Mondays, for 24 hours. And then the rest of the time they're closed. I don't know if that's true, especially when you hear how much they make people work. Another business that they own, the Blue Blinds Bakery, also apparently has odd hours as well. I'm trying to look up the hours for that, but I can't find it. So I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if that's just an issue with their Google. I don't know if that's the actual, or if maybe in the public eye of all of this, they're trying to scale back so that they're not overworking people. Because as Rick Ross said on Friday, that's what they do. They make people work for room and board to be part of the commune, and they overwork them. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM. Hey,
good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
On a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And jumping up to $5. You know, your odds of winning the lottery are like over 100 million to one. I mean, that's a stretch. They want more money. How much did the mass lottery make last year in revenues?
I don't know, but I should point out, this is not the Massachusetts lottery that's running it. This is a nationally run lottery.
Right, but either way, all the states benefit from it.
Right.
But maybe Phil Devitt can get on that and, you know, in his news report and see how much money we made last year in revenues. You know, when this whole thing came out with a mass lottery, it was supposed to be generate funds for the public schools. But all that money goes into a big pile of money, the general fund. And, that's something I'd like to know, how much the state made last year.
I do think it's interesting. It's interesting how they're marketing this as you'll have better odds of winning. Yeah, because less people are going to play when it's $5.
Well, at the like you said, you know, when you watch a football game, you know, you got $5 in your pocket and you're going to blow it on a lottery ticket. You're going to get a bag of chips and a soda, you know,
right,
and watch the game, back and watch the game.
The other part of it, too, is, you know, sports gambling is now legal in Massachusetts and people can make a small bet on that if they want to do. They can make a very tiny bet. Maybe people start saying, you know what, I'll try that instead of the lottery, because then at least I have a little bit more control over the outcome.
You have BetMGM and you got DraftKings, which, Robert Kraft is part owner. You probably make more money betting on the games than this, $5 racket they're putting out on Mega Millions.
And if somebody says, well, I don't really know that much about sports, well, it doesn't matter. You still have the same odds of better odds of winning than you would have in the lottery. It doesn't matter if you know anything.
Absolutely.
You can just make a blind bet.
Right. And the thing is, you can win any given week.
Mm-hmm. Except unless you bet on the Patriots, then you probably don't have a chance.
Well, you know the thing with the Patriots, since you brought it up, Robert Kraft is cheap. And you can blame it on Gerard Mayo. You can blame it on Jacoby Brissett and getting the new guy in, Drake May, and all this baloney. But the guy just a cheapskate. You don't want to bring in a top talent. So this is what you have.
I don't know if it's cheap or if maybe the top talent doesn't want to come here right now because they don't, the Patriots aren't the Patriots of old. So I think what you're seeing now is a lack of people wanting to come here.
Well, you go from one extreme. You got Robert Kraft that don't want to spend too much on players. And you got Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb and Zach Prescott and Dak. And they basically put all the money in those two guys. Now that team's falling apart, too. I mean, they can't get anything done.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard balance to find, and it did help that they had a guy with an economics degree for many years that was running things, but he's not there anymore.
Yeah, well, maybe it's time for Robert Kraft to give it, hand over the reins to Jonathan Kraft and let him come up with new ideas, because at this rate, I don't see the Patriots going anywhere. I mean, it just reminds me of the days of Steve Grogan, going back to Plunkett.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get to be that bad.
I hope not.
All right.
All right, Jim.
You have a good day.
Take care.
All right, 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here. We can take some more of your calls. I do think, so just to go back to what the caller was saying about the lottery, you know, it's, how do I put this? Because I don't want to insult people that like to play the lottery. Because I don't see, if you can afford a ticket and it's not, you're not taking money out of your pocket for something more important, then I think it's perfectly fine to chase that dream. But if you're somebody that struggles to make ends meet and you're still spending $100 a week on scratch tickets, and that's a true story. I sold lottery for a long time, working at the diner that I worked at. And I saw the people that were coming in that couldn't make ends meet, but yet had to feed that gambling addiction. And Massachusetts can put all of the phone numbers it wants to on the signs. It can put all of the phone numbers it wants to on the commercials and on the website and all of that. And they can put it on the back of the ticket like they do. They can do all of that. But really, Massachusetts isn't really helping the people who are gambling addicts. They're enabling the people who are gambling addicts. They have a limit on how many liquor licenses you can have in town, how many stores can sell alcoholic products. There's a business in New Bedford. New owners just took over the gallery that are fighting to get their liquor license. They cannot serve alcoholic drinks at a bar. They cannot serve alcoholic drinks because their liquor license is tied up and they can't get another one because there's only so many allowed. But Massachusetts will be like, oh, you want to sell lottery? Sure, here you go. Yeah, let's get one more in there. So it seems to me like It's a false thing to try to to try to help people who are gambling addicts. But anyway, but if you're somebody who is struggling and you're spending money on a scratch ticket every week, like, yeah, I get it. You should be able to chase that dream, have that hope, but you're also making things worse. And I've seen it with my own eyes. People who struggle, but yet still have that, you know, $10 worth of scratch tickets every morning. And you know that's not their only stop for them. And when we stopped selling lottery, they would go next door and get it at the liquor store next door and then come in and sit at the counter and scratch all their tickets. And then say something like, can you float me the money for this coffee? I don't have any cash. So anyway, 508-996-0500. Go ahead, take a break. We will be right back.
Well, we know.
And welcome back in. And you can save tonight. You can save time. Because let me tell you, my life has completely changed. For the better. Because I no longer have to do laundry. I don't have to find time in my schedule to do laundry. I was leaving here in the mornings, and I was going to the laundromat, putting in a load of clothes, coming back, doing some work for a half an hour, going back, taking the out of the washer, putting them in the dryer, then come back here for an hour or so, go back, have to fold them all. It was taking more time out of my day than I could afford to give up. And I'm certainly not going to spend my free time doing it. So I was at the end of my rope when it came to laundry. I was doing it like every 3 weeks. And I was just going out and buying more clothes as opposed to washing the clothes that I had because I didn't have time to do it. And so it would drive me crazy that like, well, I like that shirt. I want to wear it, but it's dirty and I don't have time to wash the laundry. But now I don't have to worry about any of that because now I do my laundry with Dash Laundromat. Whether it be that I want to go and drop it off in the locker and I can just use the Dash app to get my PIN code to open up the locker, leave my laundry in there. They know that it's there now because I did it all through the app. They'll take it, they'll wash it, they'll dry it, they'll fold it, and then they'll put it back in the locker so I can come back and I can pick it up when it works for me. I don't have to worry about getting there before they close or getting there when they open to be able to drop it off. It all gets done for me that way. Or even better, I can have them pick it up and drop it off from my house. I don't even need to bring it there. Levels of service beyond other laundromats. And also the experience itself, if you're going to go there and do your own laundry, great place to do it. Why? Because it's bright, it's clean, it's quiet. You can barely hear those machines. So you can sit there and do your homework. You can watch a movie on your tablet. You can watch TV. They have Disney Plus on the TVs in the laundromat for the kids. All kinds of great amenities at Dash Laundromat. One State Road in Dartmouth. Download the Dash Laundromat app today from the Dash Store and find them on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and you will see the Dash difference and see just how quick and easy doing your laundry can be. All right, I've got to take one more break here coming up in just a moment, but I'm going to ask a question before I go to the final break here, and we can talk about this more in the next hour. But you see all these commercials on TV promoting the Dunk-a-Latte, McDonald's, Dunkin's new coffee milk drink. I saw a post from one of my friends on social media. How has the Dunk-a-Latte been discontinued when I'm still seeing commercials for it? And there's still posters and advertisements out there for it. And other people are saying, yeah, it's discontinued at the Dunkin' I go to, too. What is going on with the Dunk-a-Latte? Apparently, from what I was reading, they actually have had trouble supplying the coffee milk to the Dunkins to be able to make the Dunk-a-Latte. So they have discontinued it at some places because they can't get the orders. It was supposed to run until the end of October. Didn't even make it out of September in a lot of markets, according to what I read on Reddit. First of all, if you want an easy solution, Dunkin', partner up with Silmo. They've got a great coffee, sir. But also, you're Dunkin'. You can't make coffee milk? Just change the recipe. Instead of giving them coffee milk already made, change the recipe. I know they can't differ from the recipe. They got to use what, but tell them this much milk, this much coffee. That's coffee milk. But I just don't get it. I've got to take this final break. We will be right back. A few moments of the hour. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. No toothache.
Oh, good.
Up and about at 4 o'clock in the morning and everything. So, yeah, so far so good. Hopefully you will hold off and don't come back. Well, I know I have to address it, but not till the end of November because I got things to do. So I guess what I did to say, you cracked me up. First of all, I really do love waking up with you every morning, Tim. I'm telling you, I get just so excited when I know it's 6 o'clock. You just really make my day. You say things that are funny. Sometimes I think you don't even realize how funny you are.
Oh, believe me, I know.
Oh, good.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, well, you should know that you are. I just love your humor. It's off the cuff. But so in the first hour, you were talking about that road. You don't want people going down that spooky road. And then you said, go into the wherever and go look for a Sasquatch. And then you said some other kind of thing. What was that other animal or like, what was it?
Puckwudgies.
What is a puckwudgie?
So I'll tell you what, I don't have time to get into it because I'm up against it for the news. But at the top of the next hour, I will talk about the legend of the Puckwudgies.
Okay, because once going through Carver, I swear I saw a little thing. It was maybe from my foot to my kneecap. And that's it. I swear I saw it. I even went in reverse. And it's a back road in Carver by the cranberry bugs. And I went in reverse and I said, what? I swear that little thing took off running, and nobody believes me to this day. But I'm telling you, I know what I saw. I looked like a gnome almost, but not quite. You know
that fits the description of a puckwudgie. So
no, sir.
Well, you'll just. Have-